You're having a threesome with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers. And now, It's Complicated.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
Your fave podcast for all things dating and relationships.
A one-stop pod shop for the latest trends, reality TV, and celebrity couple gossip.
Plus, everything we've got going on in our own love lives.
We're your village, and we think you can't date or relate without us.
And you should be pumped to be here because we are bringing you the expertise and guests who are filled with all the answers that'll take some guessing out of the game.
Make sure you subscribe and share our pod with your friends so we can help grow the village even bigger. You can find us at It's Complicated Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell a friend.
All right. I know we're not shocked, but we're kind of shook. The Golden Bachelor couple is divorced after a whopping 3 months of marriage, everybody.
I think somebody called that. Who called that? We have to go back and listen to our other podcast to see who called
that. Pretty probably.
Well, I think we all did. And I think the majority of people, like I just said, are not shocked. And this is what we're going to talk about right now. Okay. So first of all, the Golden Bachelor couple, they announced that only after 3 months of marriage, they're getting divorced because they had many heart-to-heart conversations and they felt like it was best for them to dissolve their marriage. And this is sort of based on this general sort of story about them trying to find houses that made sense for their families, their kids, and their grandkids. But they ultimately could not come to an agreement.
I mean, obviously they didn't end their marriage because they couldn't agree on which city to live in. And we're guessing there's more to the story.
So why do we think that people say, I knew it, or surprise, surprise, when we hear a reality TV couple who got married ends up riding off into the divorced sunset? What about getting married to somebody you met on a dating show makes us all feel uncomfy about the seriousness of the relationship? I mean, do we take it seriously at all if they get married on TV?
Well, let's discuss what we think about reality TV marriages and what they're taking away from the sanctity of marriage in the real world. What do you say? Why do you think we all thought we knew it? Like right before, like we weren't like, oh, this is going to last, or two sweet people. Jen's the only one that watched the show, so we can only go based on what Jen told us. But like, why? Why do you think we knew it right away?
I think that now I know, like you said, Rob, about the show based on all of the cliff notes that Jen gave us. But in general, why reality TV marriages end, like why we're all not really shocked when that happens. For me personally, the first thing that comes up is the time frame. It's like, okay, well, they've only known each other for like not even like 6 months. So not shocked type
of thing. Not even 6 weeks, you mean?
Well, right. But like by the time the divorce, yeah, like by the time the divorce hits the public and it's been, you know, like only a handful of months, like hasn't even been half a year most of the time. Are we shocked? Right. No. And that's the first red flag that pops up in my mind, is just like the lack of time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I also think, when you take a step back and you're like, holy shit, dating's hard enough. You know, dating in the real world is not easy. Rob, you're doing it right now. It's hard to even figure out which platform works, whether it's an app and one of the apps, or in real life, or a setup or whatever. So then you add in the layer of TV and the people that go on TV to find love. So I think that kind of takes things to a new level of the types of personalities that would go on TV to find love. So then you're like, well, what are the chances any relationship succeeds? There's like, I don't know, the odds are not in anyone's favor, really. It's like 50% divorce anyway. Then you add in all the other things that might impact that even further. So like, really, the odds are not in your favor at all if you add all those up. But I will say this, the reality TV bit is like, I think especially hard to take seriously, because it is TV and like we know people are casted a certain way, and there's like a zillion options, and then you see all these hot people they cast for the show. Why is anyone going to want to stick together when they know they could just move on to the next? It's like plenty of fish in the sea.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with both of those things, obviously, but then also on top of that, the little cherry on top is social media. Right. And I think that it's, you know, people ask me, like, do you still watch The Bachelor? When I tell people I love reality TV, they're like, oh, I watch The Bachelor. I'm like, I don't watch that shit anymore, because it's not back in the day, The Bachelor was people going on there and being kind of like, oh, let me see if I can find somebody while and have fun at the same time, right? And now it's like 21-year-olds, like the median age on these shows are like 21 to 27, maybe 27 is pushing it.
Yeah.
And they really want clout, social media clout. Like they want it, they all want to be a fashion influencer when the show's over, or they all want to be like be a fitness influencer. They all want their social media following to grow so that they can use this as a platform for their next step. This is, no, I don't think anybody goes onto these shows anymore wanting to quote unquote win.
Well, but how do you then explain these people being like not tech savvy? They're the golden age we right. thought well, in the beginning of all this. Like when we started talking about the Golden Bachelor as a whole, we said maybe this one will work because they're not on social
well,
media.
The fact that the stupid, and I'm judging, but you put yourself out there, so I'm going to say it. The fact that these stupid people went on there and didn't think about where they were going to live after the fucking show and how it was going to affect their families before they even went on it, then they were going on it for the wrong reasons. This is something that you think an adult person would be like, well, if I win, what's going to happen next? Right?
That's a perfect point, Rob. That is kind of an umbrella point for all of this. Like we're saying basically that we think reality TV shows have taken away from like the seriousness and the sanctity of marriage. And this is a perfect first step in that direction. You're already going on a show, not even thinking like, well, I have kids and grandchildren if you're on The Golden Bachelor. So it's very important for me to like be in this city all the time, 24/7. There's no way I could ever move. You don't even open with that when you're on the show. Like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm from New York. And maybe 5 minutes later, I've got grandkids and I'm never leaving their side. Like these people aren't going even in with a serious foot. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not even bringing these real life issues up. So when the cameras stop rolling and they're going on, not on these produced beautiful dates on private fucking islands and whatever, now all of a sudden they're like looking for stupid apartments in this city or that city. It's like the shine has worn off and the real world sets in.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think we all agree. So no one is debating here at this point. We're just explaining the rationale behind why this probably did not work out, all of the various reasons. But to go into that even further, it's like, so you didn't think about this before you went on the show. Awesome. Knowing it's a national show. It's not like you went on Love is Blind Austin or Married at First Sight Denver, where it's specific to locals in that area. You know you're going to end up there and whatever. And by the way, those shows should probably do a golden version of that, considering there might be more likelihood.
I mean, even Top Chef does like specific cities.
Yes. You know what I mean? Well, actually, no, those are located there, but people are flown in from other
places. No, I know that, but they still do a specific city. So if you did like a Bachelor Madison, Wisconsin, then that's going to be fucking a good show to watch because you're in that area. Like I'm agreeing with you.
Yes. We love this. But so I think the other thing too is we know, and Rob, you hinted at this, that this could not be the real reason because at that age, you would think they both have plenty of money to go between the two places. They could rent in both, own in one, rent in the other. They could have one be a rental property. There is strategy that they could have here that is compromise that gets them to be in both places. They absolutely should be like, I don't know, well-versed enough to know what they've experienced in life already to know that you don't actually have to live in a place to then be able to visit. You can go back and there's a plane, there's a train, there's cars, all sorts of things.
I mean, I make it back to LA once a month for fuck's
sake. Right. Like, exactly. So for that to be the sticking point, like, no, you just don't want to live together.
I think they had to give a sticking point because the people want to know. But listen, as a reality TV connoisseur, right? There's so many shows out there. And like I was when I was on Stassi's podcast, we were talking about this because we were talking about my love for TLC. And we were talking about how like I don't watch like the people that are 700 pounds and are trying to lose weight but can't in, you know, bumfuck Mississippi or Pimple Poppers. And I'm just going to say this again.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
So I'm just going to say this one more time. If TLC is listening, and I hope they are at some point, or maybe it gets back to them in years, stop putting commercials for shows that we don't want to watch in the middle of shows that we're watching. When I'm watching Little People, Big World, don't show a commercial of a big pimple that's hairy and gross and needing to be popped while I'm trying to eat my dinner watching Zach and Tori play with their fucking kids. Stop it. It drives me fucking crazy.
Wrong audience.
Okay. That being said, when I was on there with Stassi, when I was on her podcast, we were talking about this and I was like, there's a TLC curse. And the curse is that most marriages that seem happy and healthy at the beginning of filming every one of their shows winds up in divorce. It doesn't matter like what their fucking religion is. It doesn't matter how many kids they have. It doesn't matter how tall or short they are. They all wind up in divorce.
And wait, Stassi, was 17 kids and counting or 20 or whatever the fucking number kept changing every year? That was TLC, right?
Also,
right,
John and Kate plus 8.
John and Kate plus 8. Little People, Big World.
Octomom?
What?
I don't know. What was an Octomom thing at some point? Or am I?
Oh, I don't think that was a show.
Special. That wasn't a show.
Oh, I don't think she was married either.
Little People, Big World. Welcome to Plathville, which is a new one. They just got fucking divorced and they were together forever.
What about Tori and Dean?
Okay, they weren't on TLC, but yes. But the point, but like, Stassi then says to me, well, you know about the Bravo curse. And I'm like, what's the Bravo curse? She says, everybody that starts these reality shows on Bravo that are already in a committed relationship, they break up. Nobody lasts. Everybody gets fucked over. And I'm like, well, the theme isn't the network. The theme is fucking reality TV, right? People are getting onto these fucking shows in committed relationships thinking they're going to show the world how great their shit is. But then like, society creeps in and social DMs come in and, you know, the pressure of this or like in the Golden Bachelor's case, we found out he was fucking other people right up until they went in, or that he was mean to his ex-girlfriend and he's actually not such a great guy. Like the dirt comes up and it ruins, people can't handle it, especially if you don't have a solid foundation to begin with.
Well, and that's the whole point of like, relationships are hard enough. We've talked about it for 1,000 years on this podcast. It's called It's Complicated for a Reason. It's not called It's Just a Joyride. So it's happily Ever After. It's called It's Fucking Hard Ever After. So
we're just going to call it It's Going to Get Bumpy, but then it'll be fine.
Put on your seatbelt.
Yeah, exactly. So I think when you take relationships and then you put it on steroids and you add cameras and social media and you make it more complicated than it already is without all of those ingredients, you're not set up for success. So it's kind of like the question is, if the percentages of success are so low, let's just say there's the Bravo curse, there's the TLC curse, I would assume people might say that about The Bachelor or whatever it is, then why would anybody go on those shows? This is like hypothetical, rhetorical, whatever. Why would anyone go on those shows thinking that they're going to like beat the statistic? Because the statistic is even lower than the regular life.
Oh my God. And Lauren, I'm sorry. I know you have a face like you want to say something really badly.
I was going to say, I think that's right. I think they all think like, I'm going to be the one. It's like when you get into a relationship with a guy and you're like, well, I can fix him, or a girl, or I can fix, like Rob, you say you do that. And what's her face from Love is Blind says she does that. I think like people think, yeah, I can be the one, like this is going
to be the exception to the rule.
And
I be the exception
to the rule. And I also think they think like what Jen said and Rob, we were all talking about, if I don't, because I'm probably going to become Instagram famous anyway, so who cares? And if I do get married, it doesn't work out. Oh, well, we'll just get divorced, because there's a community of people of 20 years that have been.
There's a whole island waiting for you if you don't fucking make it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a spinoff.
Yeah. Well, I'll be fine. Oh, well, if I have to get married and divorced, who cares?
Like that I'm going to be rich. That car ride on The Bachelor now doesn't, like, these people crying in the back of that fucking limo. You're like, shut up. You're heading straight to Bachelor in Paradise.
Exactly. You're off to the next set.
You're already getting, check your phone. You're already getting 18 DMs from 8 guys in the past seasons. So, like, I don't feel bad for you at all. at
all. No, zero. But I will say this. We generally, in real life, feel bad for people who are going through divorce because they make it sound very awful. Yet, there are so many people who go into marriages and don't think about that as a possibility somehow, or like that it's going to be bad for them too. Do they have a magic pill or like a secret out of relationships that like bypasses the divorce, which is soul sucking, and they just get onto the other side and they're like, bye, I'm going to be fine now.
I think it's just not as big of a deal because when you're divorcing someone you've been married to for 3 months, like who fucking cares? It's like, yeah, it sucks, but it's like there's not, you know, most likely children that are involved and houses and things. It's like, oh, well, like you already have probably lawyers that you've maybe gotten on your side from hopefully the beginning because of the situation, because the TV show, because there's money, because there's things. And it's probably just like paperwork for a couple weeks and you're done. Like, well, it's no big deal.
I mean, there is, not to bring it back to my new show my show that I talk about all the time, Married at First Sight. Like, these people literally, there's a divorce at the end if you don't decide to go forward. Like, these people are all, none, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw my post or not, but the Married at First Sight fucking part one reunion.
Oh, is, yeah, I saw. Yeah.
Fire. It is exactly what Love is Blind needs to take notes and sit down and shut up. And Nick and Vanessa need to like take a note from the host there because he's like prompting the drama, but he's not in the drama. So like, but none of these people Married at First Sight got married. None of them. They all got divorced, rather. They all got divorced. And now we're finding out, because of the social media and because of the fucking reality TV aspect of this, like, there's this whole contention right now that it's all the women. The women all showed up in pink dresses to like women power and all that other stuff to stay together. And the men are all kind of like getting really like blamed for everything. But apparently they all got together off of camera when filming first started and came up with a strategy to like trick the system. So like they all seemed happy and go lucky.
This came out during the reunion.
Yes.
What?
That they all got together and were like, let's just act like we all really love each other and want to be together while the cameras are on. And then we'll figure shit out after when the shit's off. And then when we make it past this whole process, then we can really start being in a relationship.
Wait, Rob, that's what you were picking up on when you were watching the show, because you kept saying, why are they being so weird to each other? Because one will act like totally fine in front of the cameras, and then they talk about shit off camera or don't mention this, and they're all super cagey. What? That's so weird.
Right, but because of the optics of it.
Well, right? That's so weird because, I mean, the layers of manipulation and I don't even strategy that go into that.
Bing, bing, bing. Those are the two main words that the women are using. They were manipulated and strategy.
Oh, well, anyway, the point is that is just so grotesque and like beyond the realm of, I think, comprehension, because it's like, why would you go on the show in the first place?
Here's the thing. Like, the thing with this show that separates it from Love is Blind and The Bachelor and all this other stuff is that it's not as mainstream. So like if I go out there into the street and be like, hey, who's watched The Bachelor? You know, there's 10 people, 8 of them are going to say they've watched it. If I say who's watched Love is Blind, 7 of them will say they watched it. If I say who's watched Married at First Sight, 2. So like, and it's been on for 17 seasons. So I think the people that go on this show do it to actually find somebody and go through this like quote unquote experiment. Whereas the other people that go on these shows go on it for the clout. So sure. Like when they
absolutely.
Go.
When but what do you think about Teresa and Jerry? Like, bringing it back to them, why do you think they went on? And why do you think it didn't actually work?
I think all their
departments or whatever, but what is it?
I mean, I watched the first episode, but didn't I hear a lot of the women be like, my kids signed me up for this? Like, wasn't it a lot of, like, family members or, like, aunts or, I mean, cousins or nephews or children that were like, you should go be on it. You should go be on it. And then they probably hype them up like, well, if it doesn't work out, at least you were on TV, you know, or at least you'll be on People Magazine.
I feel like it's a little, the Golden Bachelor is a little more specific to say like, these people probably went on because they were really like looking for love and less trying to be like, yeah, maybe their kids were saying, oh, like you said, Rob, you'll be on TV or People Magazine, but probably less about like trying to find Instagram fame and more just about like, why not? I'm at the end of my life and I'm looking for something and this could be a fun YOLO experience. But I do think, yeah, to answer your question, Jen, they probably did go on with a little bit more like, this is my last ditch effort at finding love. But
remember when it first came on and I told you guys, I go, I was surprised that Jerry was the guy. Terry.
Yeah. He does look like a Terry though.
I was surprised that he was the guy. Cause I was expecting like a 20 years older Jesse Palmer that was doing this just so he can go to the clubs and have sex with 24-year-olds when it's all over. Do you know what I mean?
I think he looks like Joe Namath. Maybe he is. Maybe he's drunk on the sidelines hitting on all of the...
He does look like Joe Namath a little bit.
He does, doesn't he?
But I thought... And maybe we all got duped. You know, maybe we all got...
But so what do you think didn't work between them? Because like, say it's because they can't figure out where to live, which that's dumb.
I think they just didn't get along in the real world. Like all the smoke and mirrors disappeared and they're like, eh, I have to live with you and do like real things. This is boring. We don't really know each other.
By the way, they both really know each other. Relationships. They had long relationships before. You would think figured out how to make it work.
But I'm just reading this from blurbs, but didn't they not spend a lot of time together? Didn't they like, she went back to her hometown. He went back to his hometown. They were trying to make it work long. Wasn't the whole thing that everybody's talking about is them making it work long distance? And how long distance relationships don't work. And like they were trying to, that's why they were trying to figure out which city to go to because a long distance was really like kind of hurting their relationship.
I didn't get that. I just thought that they were like,
look it up.
Temporarily together and trying to find somewhere to permanently be. But I feel like it would be a really, really easy thing to say that they just didn't really know each other. And when it came down to like, everyone else was gone and they just had each other. They probably just weren't as compatible as they thought. And they're like, let's just get divorced because getting married was no big deal, which is what we're talking about in the show. So who cares? And let's just get divorced. It's like paperwork to them.
Do you think though that he's going to end up back with Leslie?
No, I think he's going to wind up. Look, I know I have a very, very personal friend who's in his camp. So like, I don't know that stuff, but the camp that he has is not posed to just go find somebody else and then settle down in whatever city he's from. Like he's going to go probably do, you know, Celebrity Big Brother or fucking
Dancing
like
with the Stars. Everybody ends up there or on Plum Island.
Exactly. He's got a whole list of shit that he's got.
Love Island old people.
And you know, the girl might've been like, I'm not sticking around for all that. I'm not here for a fucking Celebrity Beatles tour. Like I just want to be with my grandkids. So that might've been a thing too, because that's what happens. Also when this fame hits, man, you got to take all the good and the ugly, and there's a lot of ugly that comes with it.
I think that's a good point. It's like what happens after the fact. Let's say you don't split up, but now you are the Bachelor forever, the first Golden Bachelor, the first wife of the Golden Bachelor. Like the beast that is ABC wants to continue the momentum coming off of that. So they do probably give you publicists. They do put you on a plan for the year following your marriage. I would even assume they probably are like, we want to do another check-in with you 6 months down the road, or like a spin-off about your love story or
he's
whatever.
He's showing up to your friends' weddings, you know, on the other, you know, this dude and you're right. And he's probably got a whole list of other things fucking lined up that they have. And especially if they're trying to make this into a new franchise thing, then he's got to fucking promote the fuck out of it. That's why what's her name still fucking comes around. The original Bachelorette. She's hooked in for fucking ever.
She is locked the fuck in, that woman, and whatever, Trista and Ryan. I think if he could be the new host of the next Golden Bachelor. I mean, he's just like, he seems like, he wants to be in the mix, and maybe she was like, oh, this is a little too much for me. Cause like that's a whole thing too. The fame aspect that comes after that, you're really under a microscope and that could make people uncomfortable. That could drive a wedge between people if you're not aligned on how exposed you want to be with things. So,
and maybe he was exposed to other women with all the fame and was like, ooh, this
listen,
was cool for a minute.
How old is he? 72?
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's 72 years of fucking shit that nobody found out about that all of a sudden they went digging in. You know,
sure.
So like, I'm sure there were some Pandora's boxes that he was thought were long gone, you know, and then, you know, but anyway, we're speculating, but I think that once you put yourself on these reality TV, and for me, I do think they are reality. Like I like I said, in when I'm friends with people on reality TV and people are like, oh, it's scripted. I'm like, bullshit, check my phone. Cause that fight's really going on right now on my text thread. Do you know what I mean? So like,
I think people who think reality TV is scripted are, that's not real. I mean, I think there was definitely production that happens and like these dates are produced and they're all that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's not total reality. It's not just a camera on the wall in a room, but like, other than that, these people aren't actors and the situations that you're watching happen are really happening. It's just that they're also in a bubble. So they're like, you know, much more, they seem much more extreme than maybe it would if this was in the real world, because there's a competition aspect to it a lot. And so that kind of gets everyone's insecurities triggering, and it just gets really, really heightened, and there's cameras and a time limit, and everyone feels a sense of urgency and pressure. And that creates this sort of reality TV bubble that isn't like the real world. But the situations that happen on all these reality TV shows are real. I 100% believe that.
Except for divorce, apparently, because theirs just go away like it's nothing and don't make a ripple. It's just like, hello, we're getting divorced. Bye-bye.
Not to go back to Married at First Sight.
Okay.
Seriously. But the thing that I do like about it is that they don't stop at the end. Like they, like the actual Married at First Sight experiment stopped 4 weeks ago, but we still tune in every week because we want to see what Becca is doing now that she has gotten divorced, what the girls are doing. Like they follow them around and they talk about how hard it is. And some of them, I mean, on this last reunion, this dude and Claire and Cameron went at each other, like yelling, crying, screaming. They like the host had to be like, whoa, 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 calm the fuck down. Like, and there's more to come. But at the end, Cameron was like, I'd like to give it another chance. You know?
And okay, so how does anyone take any of that seriously when we know how calculated they all were?
Well, that's the thing, right? So the girl obviously said no, but like, but it's like, what? Well, where does your brain go? How upset do you get? Like, if you made a reality TV show called After the Fact or something like that, like after the divorce, and you followed people around and how they live their lives and what they do to cope, that would be a good reality show too, I think. Like that could be a some sort of spinoff because, yeah, Jerry might have stuff to do, but what's her name?
Teresa.
What's Teresa going to do?
Oh my God. Did they call them Jerry and Terry?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Too bad they didn't work out because they could have been a cute older couple. And like they, I would say they had all the makings for success in that they've both had long marriages. They knew how to keep a marriage alive and, one would think had morals and values that aligned because they both had families and were small town folks and stuff. But I guess something went awry. I hope we find out, to your point, Rob, like a continuation and maybe someone has a memoir or something. I don't know. But I'm dying to know what really happened. And like, did his fame go to his head? Did she realize that he's actually
mean, like the rumors said?
Yeah, like maybe, and she, I don't know what he says to her because she can't lose more weight, but like he apparently said things like that. So who knows? We'll find out, I hope, in the coming weeks that this story develops because the whole media thing seemed a little bit too crafted and too perfect and like a little bow tied up. But no, we know there is more reality behind that reality.
Reality. Team. Yeah.
But we all are on agreeance that the reality TV circuit, all of the shows that are dating and, you know, encourage the marriages towards the end is really taking away from the sanctity of marriage. It's making it very easy to do, to get married and get divorced. It's like no big deal. And the payout is like, oh, well, if I get divorced and this doesn't work out, I'm going to be famous because of it. So it's like, let me use that as a pawn in my chess game. And I do think that it kind of make it influences the real people watching the shows and that could be affecting whether or not you make a rash decision when it comes to seriousness of romantic relationships and marriage.
I think the reality TV dating shows are kind of like the fallback career. Like, oh, well, if this job doesn't work out, I'll just go be this. Well, if dating in the real world doesn't work out, I'll just go on a reality TV show. And then at least if that doesn't work out, I'll be famous. And it will just continue on and on and on. Well, just like the reality TV show roller coaster, this show also goes on and on and on. So everyone listening, tune in to It's Complicated, where we talk more dating and relationship-y and reality TV dating stuff. And while you're there, please subscribe, rate, comment, share the show with a friend. And if you want to join the class of master daters, don't forget to follow us on social media at Complicated Show. You can also find me at Jennifer Golden.
You can find me at Forever's Evers.
And you can follow me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social medias as well.
Bye, Gail.
Thank you for listening to It's Complicated. And now that we're going steady, come back next week for another date with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers.